This is your local news from Saint FM for Thursday, the 28th of July. The funeral of the late Mrs. Gertrude May Corker, formerly of New Bridge, aged 98, will take place tomorrow, Friday, the 29th of July. The cortege will leave the chapel rest at 9:50 in the morning, proceeding to St. John's Church for the funeral service, then on to St. Paul's Cemetery for the interment. Gertrude is survived by son Peter, daughter-in-law Glenda, granddaughter Teresa, grandsons Mark, Keith and Peter and their families, sisters Eileen, Myrtle, Gwen and Hazel, and brother Leslie and their families, also nieces and nephews, both here and overseas. The funeral of the late Doris Muriel Williams, who passed away on the 19th of July at the age of 85, will take place tomorrow afternoon. Leaving the chapel rest at 1:30, proceeding to St. Matthew's Church for the funeral service, then on to the Dungeon Cemetery for their burial. Doris is survived by sister Barbara and husband Eric, granddaughter Sarah and family on the island, son Peter and wife Karen, granddaughter Annika and son in the UK, and family and friends here and overseas. In the headlines today, petition for Cape Town receives an answer. Chief Minister responds to Saturday's delegation. And wired for adventure. Yesterday, John Cranfield, a petitioner for flights and medical care being moved to Cape Town from Johannesburg, Pretoria, received a response to his petition from the Chief Minister, Julie Thomas, who says that she would like to acknowledge the time it had taken to respond substantively. She says that, as advised in my previous correspondence, the petition was focused on two specific areas. The air hub used by Airlink, our contracted air service provider, and the medical referral arrangements in South Africa. As previously advised, the full analysis is still to be completed, as it incorporates the completion of the current tender process, which is seeking all areas of tertiary and secondary clinical care required by St. Helena government, as well as dedicated intermediary clinical care management that can be offered in South Africa. It is anticipated that the procurement of these services will be concluded within this financial year. With regard to the airport hub used by Airlink, our contracted air service provider, I can advise you that ongoing communication is taking place. Moving the St. Helena flight base of operation from Johannesburg to Cape Town is a complex and costly matter. Extended diversion time operations, which relate to flight duty periods for crew who are trained and experienced to operate to and from our island, is a key consideration that must be taken into account, along with the number of sectors flown and duty hours and minimum rest period before an ETOPS flight, given the difficult operational environment at our airport. The full answer to the petition in tomorrow's St. Helena Independent. Again, the Chief Minister, Julie Thomas, has responded to a petition. This was to the organisers of the protest march held on Saturday the 23rd of July. In a letter to Mrs. Olive Brown, the Chief Minister said it was indeed our privilege to be present on Saturday to hear the concerns raised by you and members of the community, as well as to receive the petition. In a four-page response, the Chief Minister did say that with a view to alleviating some of the concerns raised, we would be encouraging all persons planning to visit the island to become double vaccinated. However, this will not be mandatory. Noting that on the 15th of July, the World Health Organization issued a statement recommending that no country should continue to require a proof of vaccination against COVID as a condition of entry. Most countries, 139 according to the World Health Organization, have lifted all restrictions on entry and travel. This is a recognition there is really no way to partially live with the virus or to restrict its spread around the world. In addition, it has been agreed that in consideration of concerns raised by you, we will also encourage arrivals to the island to wear a face mask during their first 5 days when in public spaces as a courtesy to our local community. It can be said that to encourage visitors to become doubly vaccinated and or wear masks will not be difficult to implement. However, the public needs reassurance that the St. Helena government will introduce a proof of this encouragement via published forums like websites, newspapers and through visitor guidelines and protocols. However, if the requirements are not mandatory, it will be difficult to uphold, and therefore this does not give the level of assurance that many of the public at the moment are seeking. The full response and plenty of comments in tomorrow's St. Helena Independent. James Miller Wills of Wired for Adventure magazine has written about our whale sharks, describing them as St. Helena's underwater giants. The publication appeared last week. Whale sharks are the ocean's gentle giants. The species is protected, so there are very specific guidelines for swimming with them. Whale sharks aren't the only underwater attraction in St. Helena. The island's waters are home to a range of exciting sea life, including playful devil rays, green and hawksbill turtles, octopus and dolphins. And a nighttime dive offers a different way of experiencing St. Helena ocean life. Another thing that makes exploring St. Helena waters so unique that its variety of terrain and scuba sites, and from submerged caves to shipwrecks, there's something to challenge even the most experienced divers. There are 8 accessible shipwrecks to discover offshore and along the coast. One of these is the Darkdale, the Royal Fleet auxiliary tanker, sunk by a German U-boat in 1941. And more to read in tomorrow's St. Helena Independent. They got the full responses and all the news. There are also interesting letters and views. So, for the St. FM News Desk, I'm Mike Olson.